Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to this Election Day edition of Vox Pop. It's Tuesday, November 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Voters across the country are heading to the polls today or have already cast ballots via early voting to decide a number of national, statewide, and local races. Here to discuss some of our region's major contests are J.P. Miller of the Empire Report and Steve Greenberg of the Siena College Research Institute, WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn, and our North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley will also be joining us later to discuss races in their areas. And we want to hear from you. What races are you watching today? The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. The 2018 midterm elections and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after this news.
A kickback that went into your pocket.
That is not true.
People are calling it a caravan. I call it an invasion.
I believe we need to have a role model in the White House. I don't think this president has done that.
People got to understand that this is a state where there's still amazing opportunity.
I'm a big believer in the private sector.
When are you going to fire someone at the state police, Governor?
Political nonsense.
Senator Warren herself is one of the main reasons that we have this lack of dialogue.
Mr. Deal wants to go to Washington to be a cheerleader for Donald Trump.
Single payer, we proved that didn't work. We've seen that movie.
If you don't have a leader who's working to get to Medicare for all, you should fire them and get one that will.
Elise Stefanik voted 5 times to defund Planned Parenthood.
I am proud of being one of the strongest supporters for community health centers across this district.
I will not hide from you, I will not mislead you, and I will always be with you.
This is a great country because its people are good. God bless you and may God bless America.
Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. As you just heard, it has been a busy campaign season across the country, including a number of closely watched races in our region. In the studio to discuss the 2018 midterm elections are J.P. Miller of the Empire Report and Steve Greenberg of the Siena College Research Institute. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn will join us later on to discuss the race for New York's 19th Congressional District. And our North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley will also be along to highlight the races for New York's 21st Congressional District and Vermont Governor. Our number, and we do want to hear from you, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Oh, yeah, Election Day. For those in the news business, it's like the Super Bowl. Well, midterms, it's like the Liberty Bowl, but it's still a big deal. Hey, JP and Steve, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Thank you for having us.
It's been exciting. It's been thrilling. I'm watching the Empire Report feed, and it gets more and more exciting every day. JP, this is big time for you.
Yeah, well, it's a culmination of what we've been covering for a long time, and it certainly will be an exciting night and hopefully not too long of a night watching returns come in from the various ways that we get our returns, including WAMC, of course.
I think we're going to have a long night here in the newsroom. Steve Greenberg, we have followed your work for a long time. Before we get into what you see in the tea leaves in your most recent polling, just tell our listeners a little bit about how it works, what your methodology is when you do a poll.
Wow. We could spend the next 45 minutes on that because it really depends on what kind of poll. But, I mean, if we're talking about one of the statewide polls, we just did one on Sunday, our last New York State statewide poll prior to the election. We do polls by telephone. We reach out to people on landlines and on cell phones. Generally, these days, somewhere between a third and half of all of completed interviews are done on cell phones. And depending on when we do the poll, like if we're doing a poll in February, we just talk to a random sample of registered New York voters. But since we're in election season, what we want to do is talk to likely voters because, you know, 4 years ago, only 36% of registered voters in New York voted. 8 years ago, it was 45%. We'll hope that the numbers go back up again this year. But we don't want to talk to those voters who don't vote in midterm elections. We only want to get a sample of those who do vote. So,
and how do you know that they're telling the truth?
Well, you don't know that people are telling the truth, but we have two things that we do to determine likely voters. One is we know when we're calling you, your voting history. We have
How do you know that?
Because
you know how somebody voted?
Not how, but if somebody voted and when they voted.
Yes.
We know their voting history. We know when they voted.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that if somebody voted in, let's say, the last three midterm elections and they're still alive and they're still living in New York, chances are pretty darn good that they're going to vote this year in the midterm election.
Man, how do you know the chances are pretty good? Where's your science on that?
Because voters vote. If you vote in all elections, chances are you're going to vote in this election. So you get a high grade for history. But what happens to the person who just registered to vote in June? They're 19 years old or 18 years old, or they just moved into the state or just became a citizen. They registered to vote. They also have a chance, even though they have no history, because in addition, when we get you on the phone, we ask you several questions about your likelihood of voting, how much you've been following the elections, et cetera. And you get a score based on that. And so everybody we talk to gets included in the score, in the poll. But if you have a good history of voting, if you tell us you're absolutely certainly going to vote based on answers to questions, well, then your likelihood of voting is higher and you will be weighted higher in the sample.
And let's jump back 2 years when it seems that pollsters perhaps got it very wrong with the election of Donald Trump.
Well, I would say the pollsters did not necessarily get it wrong. I say the aggregators did, the folks who had those meters saying, oh, a 48% chance, a 92% chance of Clinton winning. If you look at the final national polls going into Election Day, the vast majority of national polls going into Election Day 2 years ago had Clinton ahead by 2 or 3 points. Well, you know what? She won by 3 points. So Clinton did win. Where the problem was a lot of the states that were closer than people realized weren't polled all that much.
Now, you said before the program that you polled some 20, 21 states leading up to this election.
This year, Siena had a partnership with the New York Times Upshot. You could watch live polling of congressional races on the Upshot website. And we did nearly 100 polls with the New York Times in congressional races mostly, but also some Senate races, a gubernatorial race in 26 states around the country.
All right. And before we get to the phones, and we'll talk about local races, in reading the tea leaves, and I know you don't like to make predictions. This is not what Steve Greenberg does, but...
I like to take Yogi's advice, which is I don't like to make predictions, particularly about the future.
Yeah, very nice. Well, the blue wave. Fact or fiction?
To be determined.
It's going to be one of those days.
Look,
all right.
Four years ago in New York, the turnout was 36%. Nearly 2 out of 3 registered voters didn't vote. 8 years ago, it was better. It was 45. I think we're clearly going to be better than 36% this year. Do we hit 45? Do we go higher than that? Some people think we make top 50%.
In New York?
In New York.
And again, well, before I ask you my follow-up to that, let's get the prediction from J.P. Miller.
Okay, so my prediction is you just look at history. And the big thing in history is you look at Obama in 2010, his first midterm election. President Obama lost 63 seats in Congress. You go back to Bill Clinton's first midterm election in 1994. Bill Clinton lost 54 seats in Congress. You look at, go back to presidential after presidential, first midterm, you see incumbent presidents losing a large number of seats in the House of Representatives. All President Trump needs to lose is 23 House seats today. I think that he is easily going to lose 23 House seats, and the Democrats are going to take over Congress.
So you say that the House flips.
That's my prediction, yes.
And I will agree with JP on that one. The question is, you asked me, was, is there a blue wave?
That's what you hear in the news.
Right.
And I don't like the term.
Well, and look, prior to the Democratic primary back in September, we kept hearing from a lot on the Democratic side, oh, your polls aren't measuring the new voters, the young voters, the millennials, the progressive voters. Well, you know what? They didn't turn out during the primary. Let's see if they're going to actually turn out for the general election. As I said, I think turnout will be higher. The question is, will it be higher on the Democratic side only, or will it be higher on the Democratic and the Republican side?
Well, early indications are the turnout, I saw on NPR, they think it may be the highest turnout for a midterm in a generation. We shall see about that. You mentioned that.
That would be great.
We could see 50% turnout for this election. My question for you is, New York being such a Democratic-heavy state, can it be a bellwether in any way for national progress or national trends, I should say?
I don't think New York at a statewide level can be a bellwether, but I think you can look at certain local races in New York that might be. Look, we have several really closely contested House races in New York held by Republicans that the Democrats want to pick up as part of their effort to flip 23 plus seats. Mm. Two of those districts, Faso here in New York 19 and Tenney just to the west in New York 22, those are one-point races. So those are neck-and-neck races. If those races both go Democrat, let's say, that may be a bellwether that the Democrats are going to have a good night. If those seats both go Republican, that may be a bellwether that they're not going to have such a good night.
J.P. Miller is here. Steve Greenberg is here. And we will take your calls, I promise, coming up at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Before we do that, though, we'll check in with our Hudson Valley Bureau Chief, Allison Dunn, and we will do that right after this. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. J.P. Miller of the Empire Report is here, and Steve Greenberg of Siena College Research Institute. Yeah, we talked the midterms today, and I promise we'll get right to the phones. Mark and Easton, you're going to be first. Hang in there. But first, though, let's speak with our Hudson Valley Bureau Chief, Allison Dunn. She's been covering the race for, let me turn her on here. There you go. Allison, are you with us?
I'm with you.
All right. You've been covering this race for New York's 19th for a long, long time. You've been out at the polling places in the Hudson Valley. John Faso, the Republican, facing Democrat Antonio Delgado, the Green Party's Steve Greenfield, and Independent Diane Neal. What's the latest, Allison Dunn?
Well, the latest is, you know, turnout seems to be above normal, which is what a lot of people were hoping for on both sides of the aisle. So especially in very small areas where maybe a few people dribble in, you know, in the first couple hours, there were lines at the doors at these places before the polls opened at 6. So if that turnout continues as briskly as it started the day, and of course there's always that surge in the after work crowd, you know, this is going to be a really exciting turnout tonight to see what happens and who takes it, so to speak. But the candidates themselves have been casting different tones, and if you follow their social media feeds, you'll see Congressman John Faso really, you know, replaying his ads on the social media feeds, telling people to get out and vote at lunch. He already did that, and really, you know, still kind of knocking on that proverbial door. On Democrat Antonio Delgado's side, while he said he's going to be knocking on a few doors, and you know, his volunteers are doing as well. If you look on his social media feed, there's more about thanking the volunteers and thanking the people who've been running his campaign offices and having his wife go out and thank people in various areas as well. So there's more of a thankful tone. I spoke with Antonio this morning. And again, while he said he will knock on a few doors, he's in a more reflective state of mind today. At least he was this morning, and says, you know, he's just going to be thinking about the what's gone on the past year or two, and spending some time with his family. So really different tones being set today in this race.
We are talking to Allison Dunn, who has been covering New York's 19th race for a long time here, and this has been a major flashpoint nationally. This is a big one that political pundits are watching. And there's a lot of money flying in here. And if you look at TV or radio, the ads on both sides of this race are relentless. They're on all the time. Who's backing who?
Well, that's, you know, overtly who's backing who is you'll have the Republican side from John Faso's camp and, you know, Political Action Committee just tying Antonio Delgado to Pelosi at every fell swoop. And those emails, and that's been coming in really in a flood the past couple of days, and just hoping that voters make the connection, make a connection between Nancy Pelosi and Antonio Delgado. And then the other side, you have Democrats saying, well, look, you know, Faso and Trump, they're a team. So if you don't want another Trump type in office for a second term, you need to vote for the Democratic side. As far as actually sending the bodies up for campaigning, you had House Majority Whip Steve Scalise up for Faso a couple days ago, and a few weeks before that, House Majority Speaker Paul Ryan was up campaigning for Faso. And then former Vice President Joe Biden was headlining a rally for Antonio Delgado in Kingston at the end of October. So those are the names that have come out. Of course, former President Barack Obama has endorsed Antonio Delgado. Trump has endorsed Congressman Faso, but they haven't made personal appearances in those races, but have put it out on social media and formal endorsements among a slate of candidates that they endorse in their party. So that's what we're seeing. Really, turnout is the word. Everybody has been saying that. You've heard our own Alan Schar talk about that. You've talked about it. We all talk about it. So turnout is the key, and that's looking pretty good.
Well, Allison Dunn, our Hudson Valley Bureau Chief, if you get a chance, just take a brief rest. I think it's going to be a long night.
A lot of coffee.
Thanks, Allison. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. J.P. Miller of the Empire Report is here. Steve Greenberg of the Siena College Research Institute, and we'll get right to the phones in a moment. Steve, already anecdotally, we're hearing a lot of turnout. I voted at 6:15 in my town, and I was already the 21st voter. It looks like what you're saying may be true. We'll see a lot of turnout.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, look, I am of the belief that if you are the most liberal Democrat, the most conservative Republican, or anywhere in between or beyond, you should get out and vote today, period. Get your message, get your voice heard. Just for a matter of perspective, 2 years ago in a presidential race, the turnout in New York 19 was 75%. Three-quarters of registered voters voted in a presidential year there. 4 years ago, 2014, the last gubernatorial year, the turnout in New York 19 was 50%. Mm. So let's see. I mean, I think we will be clearly able to say that turnout is up if we see that in New York 19, we have 60% turnout maybe. You know, so not, I don't anticipate it to get to presidential level, but get significantly beyond where it was 4 years ago.
All right, let's take a couple of calls here. It's 800-348-2551. Mark in Easton. Mark, very patient. Thank you for waiting.
Yes, I'm here.
You're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, the only reason I'm calling is I wanted to know what's going on with the 21st between Stefanik and Cobb. And I haven't heard anything about that. I know you're going to have someone on later, but I'm in a situation where I'm not able to listen
okay.
to you later.
Yeah, our North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley will be checking in 13 or 14 minutes. But Steve Greenberg and J.P. Miller, why don't you answer this one?
Well, I will do it just based on what I'm hearing, because Siena, unfortunately, was not able to do any polling in that district. Limited resources, and we had to pick and choose. And really, at the beginning of the season, nobody had that race at the national level, either on the Democratic side, the Republican side, or the analyst, the Cook Political Report, Larry Sabato, had that on the must-watch list. It appears to be, you know, a lean Republican district, and Stefanik is clearly favored. But there is no question she has faced a real race. There have been a lot of TV commercials on both sides. I'm going to be curious to see what happens there as well.
What I would say about the Elise Stefanik race is she has one of the very few congressional districts in New York where actually being tied with President Trump is a net positive for her. She had President Trump come in just over a month ago to do an announcement at Fort Drum of some defense spending. So she had him in basically as a campaign stop. If you see Stefanik having a close race tonight or potentially losing, that is big news. That means it's going to be a very big night for the Democrats. But according to, you know, internal polls that the campaigns have discussed off the record with reporters, they think that Stefanik is relatively safe.
And thank you for that call. We appreciate it. The third party candidate, the Green Party candidate, Lynn Kahn, also in that race. Is that a factor at all?
It can be, I mean, but only if it's a close race. And particularly, we've seen examples of that up in the North Country with minor party candidates when Bill Owens first won and then when he won his first re-election. So in a close race, for example, out in New York 22, which is Tenney versus Brindisi, that race is very close. There is a third party candidate there. New York 19, you have two third party candidates. So they can make the difference in a close race. It also could mean that the winner is held below 50%. Former Congressman Owens won his first two races with less than 50% of the vote.
Well, another issue in the Stefanik Tedra Cobb race is the gun issue. The candidate Tedra Cobb had some back and forth on whether she supported gun control or not, and that's something that Stefanik was trying to capitalize on in that race.
Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. J.P. Miller of the Empire Report is here, and Steve Greenberg of the Siena College Research Institute. Ben in Oneonta. Ben, you're on.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I'm here in Oneonta, and I've been paying attention to the polls, and you actually commented on the fact that you guys didn't have much of a representation for the young and the millennial voters. And I have to say, I know that they've registered in huge numbers, and I see hundreds of them coming out today. And I think that those results really were skewed in some of those polls showing a close race at the 19th because they weren't taking into account the energy I see here on the college campuses and through these grassroots organizations that has led to thousands of young voters registering to vote for the first time. And I think that's going to really push Delgado over the edge here.
Well, not commenting on Delgado going over the edge, pushing Delgado over the top, Ben, I will say I hope you're right when it comes to young people voting. That would be a really good thing if young people, old people, and middle-aged people vote. The problem is, historically, young people haven't done it. Let's see if this is the year that breaks the historical trend.
Well, last time I checked in that New York Times poll, I believe it was 22 responses that were garnered from people 18 to 29. And I think if that number was a little bit higher, it would show a totally different race. So,
well, again, let's let you and your contemporaries prove the pollsters wrong. Come out and vote.
Regarding the 19th, what is the percentage, if you have it in front of you, of independent voters? Not monolithic bloc Republican or Democrat voters, but the independents in the 19th.
Sure. What the actual enrollment is in that district, 32% Democrat, 32% Republican. There's actually about 1,000 more Democrats than Republicans enrolled. And 36% of the electorate is either independent or members of one of the minor parties.
And how would you go about polling that group? That would seem to be the important group here.
Which, the independents?
Yeah.
Oh, they're certainly included in our polling. The final poll that we did with the New York Times had 35% of the sample being Democrats, 34% being Republicans, 31% being independents. Independents, similarly, not as strongly as young people, independents tend to not vote as much as Democrats or Republicans.
Why is that?
In midterm elections. I don't know. Maybe independents are independent because they are less interested in politics. They don't pay as much of attention to it. But for whatever reason, historically, independents vote less in midterm years.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Steve Greenberg is here from the Siena College Research Institute and J.P. Miller of the Empire Report. Let's go to Tracy in Saugerties. Tracy.
Hi. I just have a question. I don't know if you can help me or not. My daughter was admitted to the hospital last night, and she's not going to be let out today. Is there anything I can do to get – she wants to vote really, really bad. She's 20 years old. Is there anything that can be done that she could vote today?
I'm not sure. JP, you have any ideas?
Well, I do think that there is a number that the state has put out, a type of a helpline, and maybe we can try and pull up that helpline.
Maybe our producer can get that. I would think, Tracy, there is a way to do that, but I have no idea the mechanism you would have to engage to make that happen. But we'll see.
We're going to the polling place now, so maybe they can.
That's a good idea. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks and good luck. We appreciate your call. The number is 800-348-2551. We go to Rick, who's in Vermont. Hi, Rick.
Hi, this is for Mr. Greenberg. Question about methodology. What ratio of landlines to cell phones are you guys reaching in your calls? As you know, most millennials don't have landlines, and I'm wondering how that might skew the results towards older people as opposed to the hypothetical masses of younger people who are supposed to be voting in this election.
Well, it depends on the poll. Everyone is different, but as we talked about earlier, somewhere between a third and a half of all completed calls in the vast majority of our polling is done through cell phones. Reaching young people is a little bit harder than reaching old people, but we reach a lot of young people. We talk and interview a lot of young people. The issue is, to date, young people have not voted in the same proportion and the same percentages as do middle-aged and older voters. Let's hope that changes.
I've heard you say that before. So you feel that that you have reached an adequate number of people under 40 to represent that group effectively in the polling? And is that true for the other pollsters that you know?
Absolutely, in terms of our case. I believe most of the credible, the independent pollsters, the Marists of the world, the Quinnipiacs, Monmouth, when the major networks do polling with their polling operations, I believe that pollsters have one thing that they want to do, and that is get it right. Unlike private polling that campaigns do that doesn't become public, they could get it completely wrong. It doesn't matter. We put it out there. We go public with it. And we get held to it. If we got it right, we should get credit for getting it right. When we get it wrong, and we do, then we should get faulted for getting it wrong.
Okay. And also, when nonpartisan pollsters like Sienna put their methodology together, it's not based on, we think millennials are going to vote more or less. It's based on statistical, historical analysis. Mm-hmm. They want to get it right. Their only motivation is to predict correctly, as Steve said.
J.P. Miller is here and Steve Greenberg. And I want to make this point that we have a lot of callers from New York today because there are a couple of really hot button races here. But there are races going on in Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut this evening as well. WAMC will have coverage. We'll cover the whole area and the nation tonight. Live coverage. Alan and Joe will be anchoring. Brian Shields will be doing updates. And we encourage you to join us all evening long for our election coverage. And NPR, they help out too. We'll go to them as well. By the way, we had a note here from our producer, the caller who said her daughter was in the hospital and couldn't vote today. I'm not sure this exactly tackles that issue, but he did send me a press release from Attorney General Underwood reminding voters experiencing problems or issues at the polls to call the office's hotline, 800-771-7755, anytime between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. if any New Yorker encounters barriers to voting or other problems. So that's that number for the Attorney General of New York, 800-771-7755. And thank you for that, producer Jim Lavoulis. The number here is 800-348-2551. Tell you what, let's take another call. We'll take a break, and then we'll check in with our North Country Bureau Chief, Pat Bradley. We'll go to John and Oneonta. John.
Yes, good morning, or good afternoon.
Good evening.
I was a poll watcher this morning, and the results as of 9 o'clock, we were double the amount of voters in our ward compared to the last election, which was presidential. Small sample, but I thought what was really intriguing, our ward is about 60% Democrat, but I'm doing statistics as I'm taking this, and 90% of the people that had showed up were Democrats, and the 40%, only about 20% of the Republicans had shown up in that same time span. So I thought that was a good indicator. And also, there were so many people that had never voted before, were excited, or people that had not voted, because we can see on the ward sheets who had voted in last election. person after person after person had not voted in the last several elections, but were making sure they voted today. So that's a good sign, I think.
Yeah.
One more thing that was very discouraging over the weekend, there were posted some signs, posters in Oneonta that said black man, Spanish name, Del Ghetto, spelled ghetto.
Okay.
And I thought that was very discouraging.
All right. Well, John, thanks for the call. And so turnout apparently is really rolling along here today. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Steve Greenberg and J.P. Miller here today on a midterm election edition of Vox Pop. And allegedly, we'll be talking with our North Country Bureau Chief, Pat Bradley, in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, and we will get back to the phones momentarily. We turn now to our North Country Bureau Chief, Pat Bradley. One of the races she's covering is the contest for New York's 21st Congressional District. Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik taking on Democrat Tedra Cobb and Green Party candidate Lynn Kahn. We welcome Pat to the pro. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
You getting any rest over there? Busy day,
we'll
eh?
We'll see how much we get today.
So what's the latest on this big race?
Well, the candidates in the 21st District, they've been making a district-wide final push to get the votes. And this district is huge geographically. There's 12 counties, and geographically, it's one of the largest in the eastern U.S. So they've been out there really making a push to knock on doors, make phone calls, and get their volunteers out there. Cobb, Tedra Cobb, who's the Democrat, had planned a five-day, at least 80-stop get-out-the-vote tour. Republican Elise Stefanik, the incumbent, she's also been on a get-out-the-vote campaign swing through the district, occasionally out with the lieutenant governor candidate, the Republican lieutenant governor candidate. So they're out really making an intensive campaign effort at the end.
Pat, you're also keeping an eye on the race for Vermont governor. We have Republican Phil Scott facing Democrat Christine Hallquist. Hallquist, the first transgender candidate to be nominated by a major party for governor in the U.S. How is that race unfolding?
Well, you note the transgender aspect of that, but that's rarely come up during the campaign. Hallquist won a five-way primary to challenge first-term incumbent Republican Phil Scott. Now, she's been running based on her experience as CEO of the Vermont Electric Cooperative and talks about how she was able to turn its finances around and make it one of the nation's greenest utility co-ops, and says that that experience is a solid foundation to help boost Vermont's economy. Now, she's never run for office before. Republican incumbent Phil Scott wants a second term as governor. He's previously been lieutenant governor. He's also been a state senator, and he's running on a record of successfully keeping his promise of no new taxes and no fees and being able to increase revenues while keeping that promise and also trying to keep the state more affordable yet protecting the vulnerable. Now, you may remember he ran into some controversy back in April when he signed a package of gun bills into law. That had occurred just after the Parkland shootings. He says he's a gun rights advocate, but he signed the bills because of safety concerns. Now, several months later, obviously, it's health care and the economy that appear to be a bigger issue this fall. Mm. Now, this race actually did have a poll. A recent poll, it was taken in mid-October by VPR and Vermont PBS. It shows that Scott's getting about 42%, Hallquist at 28%, but the undecided going out in mid-October, who knows if that's changed in the last couple weeks, the undecided was at 22%.
Mm. Well, while you're here, Pat Bradley, we have Steve Greenberg here. Steve, is there any reliable way to predict how that huge undecided vote is going to go?
No, not necessarily. Look, a poll is nothing more than a snapshot in time. This is what the landscape looked like for these X days that the poll was being taken. As Pat just said, this was taken about 3 weeks ago. Presumably, you know, the other factor is on election day, there is no undecided. Either you vote for candidate A or candidate B, or you don't vote in that race. Historically, undecided voters tend to vote to break toward challengers rather than incumbents.
Interesting.
Because often races are with an incumbent are a referendum on that incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you weren't with, for example, the undecided in the New York governor's race, the odds are if you're undecided about Andrew Cuomo a few days before Election Day, you're not going to vote for him on Election Day, where you might vote for Molinaro.
That's a very interesting point. Pat Bradley, I encouraged Allison to take a brief breather before the mayhem begins. I do the same to you, and we will be hearing from you tonight. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Good luck, guys.
See you, Pat. We'll hear from you later. Our number is 800-348-2551. Steve Greenberg is here from the Siena College Research Institute, and J.P. Miller of the Empire Report. J.P., the tweets you guys are sending out catch my interest every time.
Thank you. Well, we don't even tweet them. It's an auto tweet, and every single
why do you have to tell people that? Here I am giving you some credit, and you're saying it's an auto tweet.
Well, every headline that we put up automatically gets tweeted.
Well, the one that we were talking about before the show, Cuomo Molinaro race tightens. This was a couple of days ago.
Yes,
still not that tight.
It's not that tight. I think, according to Siena's poll, Steve knows better than me, but I think Governor Cuomo enjoyed a 13-point lead. But there are some, you know, certainly some notable statistics in there that Steve can talk about better than I can about the most recent governor poll.
We want to get back to the phones, but what was the biggest upset you've ever seen in a race, statewide race? I know that New York is now bluer than blue, but going back in history, what's the biggest upset you've seen?
Wow, that's hard. I'm going to go way back and give away my age a little bit. I think the upset that surprised me most in my lifetime was when Al D'Amato beat the then incumbent United States Senator Jacob Javits in a Republican primary.
Well, you are old.
Yeah.
Hey, as old as me. I remember that as well. Let's go to Charlie in New Paltz. Charlie, you're on.
Hey, guys. I checked the gambling odds for this for the House race, and it had it at 30% for Republicans. And I'm just curious the difference between betting odds with people who really have skin in the game and pollsters and the difference in accuracy.
Are you a gambling man, Steve Greenberg?
On occasion,
right.
An interesting poker game might be nice. Look, the difference is think about this. In a sports setting, think about NFL. People wager for Team X or for Team Y. That doesn't make Team X or Team Y better, doesn't make them more or less likely to win. It has no impact on it. What we're measuring in a poll is what a sample of the voting public thinks. What these betting lines monitor and measure is where people are putting their money, who people think is going to win.
Okay.
The other thing that I would say about betting versus polling is in sports teams, there are tens of billions of dollars being bet all the time on these sports teams. And with more bets and more liquidity in the market, you get a better prediction. With betting on the results of elections, there is not, in the overall scheme of things, a lot of money on the line. And those can be manipulated. And very famously in 2016, President Trump had a very low probability in the betting markets that he was going to win, and he won. So they can be wrong. They can also have the ability of being good predictors.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Tom in Hudson. Tom, you're on.
Hi, guys. I wanted to mention something about the independent category. You guys were talking earlier about why independents are less likely to vote. And I just wanted to remark on that I registered as independent. However, I didn't do it because I'm just interested in politics. I did it as a sort of symbolic rejection of the divide between the two parties. And practically, that wasn't as smart as I kind of imagined it to be. However, I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to some of the independents and say that, you know, there is a lot of concern on my part, but
okay.
Tom, yeah, I think you're exactly right. I painted it with a broad brush, and to you and to other voting independents, I apologize. Again, as a group, not individuals. And certainly, you know, 4 years ago, 19% of the people who voted, I'm sorry, yeah, 4 years ago in the 19th congressional district, 29% of the people who voted were independent. So that district, independents actually do vote at a fairly strong measure. But when we looked at the 22nd congressional district, for example, there where 28% of the enrolled voters are independents, only 19% of the electorate were independents 4 years ago.
Tom, thanks for the call. We now go over to Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on.
Yes, thank you. This question is for Steve Greenberg. Whether this election will be a blue wave or a tsunami depends on turnout, which means unlikely voters showing up. So my question is, how are likely voters defined by pollsters? Thank you.
Great. Thanks. A good question.
Likely voters are those voters who we believe are going to show up on election day.
So first-timers automatically not included in that group?
No, absolutely not. We believe many first-time voters, many new registered voters, many 18-year-olds or new citizens will vote this year. And that's, again, why we look at voting history, but we also ask a series of questions. And from that, your answers to that series of questions and from your voting history, we will make a judgment and give you a weight.
And who makes that judgment? In other words, you call me. I'm an 18-year-old. I've just registered. I have no voting history. I answer
so
a series of questions.
Okay, so we won't hold history against you. You won't get credit for history, but you won't get knocked for history. Somebody who gets knocked for history is somebody who's been registered over the last 10 years, has not voted in a single midterm election.
Right.
They will be viewed as less likely.
And then you will
vote.
Not even make that call.
Oh, no, we will absolutely talk to them as well. But they will be weighted, their vote, who they say, what they say in the answers to questions will be weighted less than somebody who, let's say, has voted in every midterm election over the last decade and told us with absolute certainty they're going to vote on election day.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Steve Greenberg of Siena College Research Institute and J.P. Miller of the Empire Report. Rick in North Chatham. Rick.
Hi. Excuse me. This question, I think, is mostly for Steve. Steve, we worked together on Carl McCall's campaign back in 94. A lot of respect for you and your work. Could you explain to us what surge polling or wave polling is, and do you guys use that?
Surge polling or wave polling?
Rick, I've got to tell you, I'm not familiar with that. I'm not sure what that means.
Do you know what it is, Rick?
Okay. Well, I've read a couple of articles online that say some of the polling that's being done, like I think they mentioned Monmouth College polls, are anticipating a blue wave.
I see what you're saying.
As they report their results.
All right. Yeah. Well, what you can do, look, we look at history, we look at trends, and we listen to what the people who we interview tell us and make judgments based on that. But let's say, let's talk about the statewide for a second. So in New York State, Democrats generally do not come out in off-year elections, midterm elections like this, in the same way that they do in general elections. So 4 years ago, for example, Republicans Even though they're only 23% of the enrolled voters, 4 years ago in the gubernatorial election, 32% of all voters were Republicans. They outperformed their enrollment. If Democrats outperform, we could wait it to look at that. But until we know for sure it's going to happen, I think it'd be irresponsible of pollsters to assume they know that a wave is going to come.
There also is no real, I don't think, please correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, definition for what is a blue wave. So let's give one scenario that the Democrats win 30 seats in the House tonight. They take over the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats wave their arms and say, this was a wave. We took Congress. Republicans are going to try and spin it. It wasn't a wave. The Democrats took less seats overall than Obama or Clinton lost when they were there. So have we defined what is a wave, Steve?
No, I mean, look, you can have a small wave, you can have a big wave. I think a wave is, and we saw a wave election in 94 with Clinton's first midterm. We saw, you know, the biggest wave election back in 1974, right after Watergate. There have been elections with smaller waves. It's also harder to measure a wave in a state like New York, which is such a blue state to begin with.
Let's take a call here, and then we'll wrap things up. Let's quickly go over to Henry in Clifton Park. Henry.
Hi. I just had a comment that I voted about a half an hour ago in Clifton Park.
Yeah.
And I asked the poll worker, had a lot of people come out, and she said over 50% had already voted, and
wow,
that was about 240.
Well, that's anecdotal, but Henry, thank you for that one. All right, in the last 45 seconds we have here, J.P. Miller, I want you to put on your, I want to see your crystal ball out here, and I want you to put on your round hat and tell me, do the Democrats take the House? And more bigger question, do they take the Senate tonight?
Democrats certainly take the House, unlikely to take the Senate.
Unlikely is not an answer, sir.
Unlikely, no, I don't think they will.
Okay, Steve Greenberg.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to agree with JP on both counts.
Why would you hate to do that?
Just on general principles.
All right, JP Miller, how do people find the Empire Report?
They go to www.empirereportnewyork.com, or they can just Google Empire Report.
Well, thank you for being here. Steve Greenberg, if people want to follow your work at Siena College Research Institute, how do they do that?
They go to www.siena.edu/SCRI for the Siena College Research Institute.
Well, guys, thanks for being here. And reminder to all of our listeners, we will have wall-to-wall election night coverage here on WAMC. Don't even turn the dial. Rip the knobs off, as they say in the commercial world. Support comes from Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 48 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. Vermont Coffee Company, organic coffee in the brown paper bag, now roasted with renewable energy. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving clients throughout New England and New York with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cndharchitects.com. And Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield, stavros.org for more information. Thanks again to J.P. Miller of the Empire Report and Steve Greenberg of Siena College Research Institute for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Jesse King. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Remember, the on-air coverage starts tonight at 8. You can also get the latest results at our website, WAMC.org. Stand by now for news.